Hello, all of you out there in Radio Land. This is KPTZ, Port Townsend, 91.9 FM. For our virtual listeners, we hope you stay glued to kptz.org. Our website is more than just a way to listen to today's shows. For example, you can find the biographies of all our hosts and DJs. You can look up calendar listings to see what's happening around town. You can even sample some of our earlier shows. In fact, much of the original programming on KPTZ is currently available as podcasts. You know, double your listening pleasure. Listen to today's show as well as some earlier ones. I'm Marianne McNellis, and this show is called Our Town. Have you ever wondered who the people are that you see every day around the area? Who was that tense couple at QFC glaring at each other over the produce? And who flies into Port Townsend International Airport on those tiny planes anyhow? Are they visitors or residents? And for your winter wondering, who is the lady with bare legs going out on a SUP? That's a stand-up paddleboard into the Salish Sea day after day. She must be mighty cold. This show, Our Town, profiles some of the fascinating people who live and work in Jefferson County. We talk with people who make up the eclectic mix around these parts. We talk about their lives, their dreams, and how they ended up on the western edge of the continent, able to look across the Strait of Juan de Fuca, right at Vancouver Island, Canada. Over time, we'll be talking with firefighters and foodies, bus drivers and baristas, the lawyers and the ladies who lunch. We try to find out what makes them tick and what they think about living in beautiful Jefferson County amid the deer, the otter, and even the magnificent soaring eagles. Today, my guest is Sheriff Dave Stanko, a man with tremendous responsibilities for Jefferson County. Sheriff Stanko was actually on Our Town about 2 years ago, shortly after he won a somewhat unexpected victory in the sheriff's election. He's here today to discuss some of his challenges and accomplishments during the first half of his term. Welcome to the show, Sheriff Stanko.
Thanks, Marianne. Glad to be here.
I always like to start off the show with a bit of background. People like to know where you're from. Now, I know you weren't born and bred in Port Townsend, but tell us a little bit of where you come from.
I started my career in Southern California, actually, back in 1975. I went to work for the Orange County Sheriff's Office back then. And then I shortly, about a year or so later, I went to work for Fullerton Police Department, where I completed the 70s, 80s, 90s, and retired the first time in 2004. So you could say that I worked parts of four decades down there in Southern California. And my wife and I moved up here in 2004, and I was retired for a 10-year period until I ran for a sheriff and took office in November 2014. To finish up the term of my predecessor.
Okay, before we go on, I know that at some point you were an undercover cop, and I'd like you to tell me the story that you told me the other day about cocaine.
Maria, that was a long time ago.
Yes.
So, you know, it's like the big fish story. Facts change once in a while, but hopefully I'll give you a good flavor for the story. Basically, I was working undercover back in the early 80s, and I had the opportunity to develop an informant who also had connections to the Escobar cartel out of Colombia. And I ended up flying to Florida, and I purchased 5 kilos of cocaine worth about $250,000, about $50,000 each, and made 4 arrests and came back to Fullerton, California with all that dope and 5 bad guys in jail.
And so what role were you playing during this sting?
It was a sting operation where I was playing a business person that I was actually not a user. I was not a low-level drug dealer, but I was a business person bringing the drugs into the county so I can distribute it to the drug sellers on the streets in Orange County, California.
I see. That must have been sort of exciting.
Well, it was, but that was a long time ago.
Yes, I know. Okay, so you retired in 2004.
I did.
And how did you happen to pick Port Townsend?
Well, my wife, Lynn, her parents, when they retired, they moved to Port Townsend in 1988-89, and Lynn and I visited numerous times, fell in love with this area, and we bought a piece of property here back in 1989 in Cape George Colony. We built our home here in 2004 and moved up here, and I got involved in the community here. I got involved with the Rotary Club here in Port Townsend, and I got involved with driving people for ECHO that I have a real passion for, helping the folks that can't really help themselves, and I drove for them for 10 years. And our Rotary Club helped remodel the homeless shelter at the American Legion. And in 2011, I was humbled by being selected Citizen of the Year here by the Chamber of Commerce.
That's great. So it sounds like you spent a lot of time volunteering and giving back to the community.
I did. It's a real passion of mine. I really believe that the young men and women that work law enforcement today also are part of our community. Just because they work here doesn't necessarily mean they're involved in the community. So I have deputies today that are involved in Kiwanis Club. I have a deputy sergeant that's on the school board in Quilcene. I have a chief that is on the fire commission down in the Coil. I think it's really important that our deputies and police officers that work in the area get to know our community. And the only way to do that is to get out from behind the windshield, if you will, get out of your car and go talk to people.
How did you decide to run for sheriff? Was it just a lightning bolt?
It wasn't really a lightning bolt, but I had the community members urging me to run based on who the competition was back in 2004. So I decided to run, and I did. And like you said, be careful what you wish for, because I was elected. But I've fallen in love with it, and I've fallen in love with our community, and I have a real passion for trying to make a difference here in Jefferson County.
So in the 2014 election, you ended up not having the support of either of the major parties, and you ran as an independent.
That's correct.
Did you think that helped you a lot?
I don't know if it helped or hindered, but I do know that it caused some confusion to begin with. But I really believe that law enforcement has to be Switzerland. We have to be neutral, because I service the whole community. I don't care what is your gender. I don't care what your religion is. I don't care what you believe. I just have to enforce the laws equitably and fairly, whether it's county laws or state laws or federal laws.
Yeah, that's a good point, because you don't have people calling in and say, well, are you a Democrat or a Republican before we decide what we're going to do here?
Well, during the election that happened, but not after the election. In fact, I've got a mission, vision, and a core value statement that speaks to that. And Reef, it'll take me about 5 seconds to read this. Our mission statement is, the Jefferson County Sheriff's Office, in partnership with our community, is committed to preserving the peace, helping those in need, and protecting the constitutional rights of all. And that was not me making that statement. That was a collaborative effort of all of our supervisors in the Sheriff's Office.
Good. I don't think most people have a real clear idea how large the sheriff's office is. How many people are involved?
Well, thanks for asking. We have 50 employees, and they're really spread all over the map. As a lot of people may not know, we go all the way out to the West Coast, out by Claylock, where I actually have two resident deputies that work out there in conjunction with other Washington State Patrol and some of the park people that are out there also. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So they kind of split the clock out there. And we also have a contract with the Ho Indian tribe out there. We're responsible for their law enforcement needs, including all the needs based on the county, too. And then over here on the east side, gosh, we go all the way from Port Townsend, all the way down to the Coil, Brennan, Quilcene. And I think you know that we have about 1,800 square miles. We have 300 miles of waterway. We have 400 miles of roads. And on the east side here, I have 13 deputies and 4 supervisors that cover 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year.
It's a lot of territory.
It is, and that includes Port Townsend. A lot of people don't know that our county seat's in Port Townsend, and the sheriff's office is in charge of courthouse security and courtroom security in the district court and the superior court. And we also have the Jefferson County Fairgrounds here in the area. We also have Memorial Field that is ours. So, and we work very well as a partnership with the Port Townsend Police Department.
So we do a lot. You have some job openings at the moment.
We do. For all of you young folks out there that want to start a career in law enforcement, I've got 4 great openings on our corrections division, and we offer a competitive starting salary. Our folks there work a 3-12 plan, meaning they work 12 hours a day, 3 days a week, and get 4 days off almost every week, and lots of overtime available right now. But it's a great career. It's a good way to give back to the community and to help people. And talking about our corrections facility, as you and I talked earlier, you know, we average about 42 souls in custody at any given time. We have had as many as 57 in custody in the last couple of months. But I really try to help get these folks back into our community. We support drug court. We support mental health court. We allow public health and mental health folks to come in and assess our population to see if they can assist them when they come in the back door to find an exit plan to help them get back into the community.
So do you think you, once you fill those slots that are open, do you have enough deputies, or do you think you need more?
Well, I think we need more on the road, especially. I think in our correction division, the commissioners have assisted me in putting more staff in the jail. They've assisted me with giving us a very successful medical program now, and they've assisted me with stabilizing our food service program now. We have an outside service that does that, and we also have an outside medical service that comes in and gives us two sick calls a week and a couple of mental health calls a month, but that's interspersed with our local mental health professionals coming in. But on the road, I had a professional study done by Washington State University, and their study indicated that I need 7 more deputies by 2020.
Wow.
And I've asked for a couple of deputies the last budget period, and the commissioners didn't have the funds to give me any. I asked for 2 more this last year for 2018, and the commissioners gave me enough money for a half a deputy. So I'll find the money within my budget to fund that. So we're still down, if you want to look at that statistic, about 6 deputies.
Wow. So do you have a strategy in mind for how to get the funding?
Well, we have a citizen advisory committee, and I've got representatives from all over the county, including the Ho Indian Tribe. We have their vice chair, Melvin John Eshoo, on the committee from the West End. And we have people from the Coil and from Brennan and Quilcene and Cape George and Calipoint and Port Ludlow that will help us disseminate information to the public to see if the public would be willing to step up and possibly consider a property tax levy. I know that's not a very friendly word here.
Yeah.
Or maybe a public safety tax. I talked to our assessor here, and a deputy would be about 4 cents a thousand.
Mm-hmm.
On our property tax levy. But this year, I'm going to concentrate on just finding the money for the other part of the money that the commissioners gave us.
Yeah.
And then the Citizen Advisory Committee, in conjunction and working with the commissioners, will decide what's the best path to go next year.
Okay.
It's about priorities.
Before we talk about the Citizen Committee, I'd just like to throw out a statistic that I read in the stuff you gave me, and I was quite surprised by these numbers. One of the things you showed me that in the year 2013, there were 12,797 calls for service, and that rose to 15,979 by 2016, which is a 22% increase. I mean, those are large numbers. What kind of calls are we getting here?
Well, all the calls for service, and this is not just unique to Jefferson County. This is unique to all of Washington and across the nation. Calls for service are trending up. That's 911 calls. That's false alarm calls or alarm calls. And that's also calls for crimes in progress, or that's for calls for crimes that have happened in the past that we just respond to take reports. So they're really all over the map. But the significant number of calls are property crimes, mail theft crimes because of our rural location here.
Mm-hmm.
I live in Cape George, and I can recall this last year, 2 or 3 calls where folks have come to our mailboxes and just rummage through to look for money, checks, whatever they can find to support whatever they're trying to support, whether it be a drug habit or otherwise.
Okay. You're listening to KPTZ Port Townsend 91.9 FM. This show is called Our Town. I'm your host, Marianne McNellis. Our Town profiles some of the fascinating people who live and work on the Olympic Peninsula. Today, my guest is Sheriff Dave Stanko, who is just telling us about the large number of calls they get. But I also would like to talk about, I know when you first took over, one of the things you did was get a couple of studies made of the department and how it was working and not working. Can you give us a few of the findings? I know it's pretty complex, but what were some of the results, suggestions?
Well, Marianne, thanks for asking. I think it's really important that I work collaboratively with an organization called YCOPS out of Washington State University. And the person I used to work for in Fullerton, Captain Lee DeVore, I contacted him and twisted his arm gently to come out here and help me with an assessment. So he brought a team out here and he talked to several community members, talked to county executives, talked to a lot of the staff inside. And we decided that, first of all, we needed to, as I told you earlier, a mission statement, a vision statement, and a core value statement. And again, briefly, I told you about our mission statement, but our vision statement that my staff helped, again, collectively put together is, the goal of the Jefferson County Sheriff's Office is to be effective and respected as the protectors of our community through proactive law enforcement, problem-solving partnerships with the community, and dedicated service. That's really the epitome of community service, is where we need to go with that. But they also said that I was a little top-heavy, so I flattened out the organization. I've just got myself and a second person in charge of the management of the organization. We now have four field supervisors, and again, as we talked earlier, I'm trying to obtain more deputies to ensure the public safety. But our Citizen Advisory Committee was very important, and critical incident training was another factor that came up that we needed to do. And what that means for the public that's listening is when our deputies or police officers go out to the public, we want to be able to have them de-escalate a situation. We want to have them be able to talk to people as their guardians and their protectors. Are they in a diabetic coma? Are they having a mental crisis? Are they suicidal? What is their problem? No. And we have lots of tools, but the best tool that we have is between our ears. It's our mental tools that we develop, and I'm trying to give them as much training as possible to get that done. Like you said, it's very complex. My strategic plan that we've now done has six initiatives to it, and we could probably have a whole show on that. And then the accreditation process through the Washington Association of Sheriffs and Police Chiefs is very important. It brings us to a position to where we would have best practices in our whole organization. That came up through this assessment also, and that will bring us into a best practice, the best policies, not only Washington statewide, with countrywide, takes into consideration lessening liability, bettering training. So okay. It's all a positive move forward.
Right. Well, nationally, as I'm sure you well know, there have been some nasty incidents between cops and the public.
There have.
Nothing like that has happened here. But how do you guard against it? How do you train your people?
We do train our people in critical incident training. We train our people how to use the tools they carry on their belt, whether it be their firearm, which is a last resort, or their taser, which is a non-lethal weapon, or their mace or their OC spray, which is what they use now, and that's a non-lethal weapon. They also carry, believe it or not, they still carry the old nightstick, is called an ASP now, as a non-lethal weapon. And we carry bean bags that we can help encourage people to cooperate with us. It's non-lethal again. But the best thing, again, like I said, is between the ears training. We've given our deputies, and I know that Port Townsend has too, it's called Blue Courage Training. It's a cultural shift from a militarization perspective to a guardianship and in a protection perspective, because that's what we are here. We work with the community. We are part of the community. That's why I told you earlier that it's important that our deputies get out of their patrol car, just make contact with people, go into businesses, just find out how's it doing.
I attended a day-long session that you had on Blue Courage, and I was very impressed by it. And I think one of the takeaways I had was you were trying to sort of humanize the department.
That's a really good way to project what's going on with police work, because all people are curious of firefighters and police officers. And most, unfortunately, a lot of our contacts with police officers are of the negative variety. So it's really important that I get the deputies out of their car to talk to the public. Coffee with a cop, neighborhood watch presentations through the Citizen Advisory Committee.
Right. And you also are having cops go into the schools, right?
We are. One of my goals, one of my strategic initiatives, is to have a high school resource officer. But again, it's based on staffing and it's based on economics.
So the Citizens Advisory Committee has 15 members.
That's correct.
And they meet monthly, right?
We meet every other month.
Every other month. Okay. If people want to attend one of these meetings, can they?
Love to have them attend. Our next meeting is March 3rd. I believe it's a Monday. Excuse me, a Thursday, I believe. And it's going to be at the Port Townsend Fire Station. Normally, they're at the Chimicken Fire Station at the Four Corners area, but we have been preempted by a class of EMT people. So that's only one time. But sure, feel free to come down. I'd love to have input from the community. The only way we can improve is to know from the community if there are any problems. I also like to hear attaboys, if you will. What are we doing right?
Yeah, that would be good. So if someone has some ideas, they can come to those meetings. Can they also get in touch with you or other deputies?
They can call me, they can email me, they can get in touch with other deputies. As we discussed, it'll be on our website, at the county website. We have the county split into districts, and all of our deputies have been assigned a district to be the contact person for it. Not for 911 calls, not for emergency calls, but if somebody was curious, their names and their email addresses will be on the website. They can contact them. We have them from Port Townsend, Quilcene, Brennan.
So it's sort of a geographic thing.
It is
a
geographic thing.
So you know which deputy mainly handles the part of the county right. you're living in.
I love to have people in their neighborhood get together. If you have five or six or seven people that want to get together for a coffee with a cop or something of the sort, love to have a deputy come by just to talk to them. You know, our deputies are part
idea.
Of the community.
Yeah. Now, you have been a big supporter of the drug court and the mental health court. Can you explain your thinking on that?
Well, when I took over, it's just, you know, the revolving door cycle, if you will, with people coming and going out of our corrections facility is frustrating for the whole community. It's just not frustrating for me, but for the prosecutor, for the mental health professionals that work for them. And again, I know you've had some drug court graduates on your program in the past, but mental health court is the same thing. It's a peer-supported, stakeholder-supported philosophy to try to help these folks stay on their medication, to try to get them help so they can become contributing members to our society again. And Judge Jill Landis for the mental health court and Judge Keith Harper for the drug court have been great advocates for that. And there's all kinds of stakeholders around the community that support that. And so do I, because my goal is to reduce the jail population. Like I said, we still average 42 souls in custody, but try to reduce that. In our jail facility, we have anger management. We have religious studies if they would like to. We have GED courses available. So we really try to assist people that are in our custody.
As you said, I interviewed a couple of graduates of drug court, and it's not easy to go through that. It takes quite a while and quite a determination.
It does. It's a process that can take up to a year and beyond.
Right.
And there's some failures, but it's okay. We're human beings. We make mistakes. Sometimes we fail, but we get up by our bootstraps and we don't give up.
You mentioned earlier the accreditation process. Why is that important to you?
It's extremely important from a best practice perspective. We need to have consistent policies. We need to have the community know that we have consistent policies, whether it is based on drug enforcement, based on DUI enforcement, based on use of force. I want the community to understand that our deputies are well-trained. I want the community to understand that we have best practices when it comes to dealing with the people that are close to you. We had an incident 3 or 4 weeks ago where a distraught person committed suicide in front of the deputies. It was horrible.
Wow.
It was horrible. But our deputies did the best they could, and they still suffered. So I actually give the deputies a debriefing because they're human too. You know, they have emotions. This stuff that you put into your brain all the time, a lot of times it can cause scars.
Yeah.
In my 5 decades of law enforcement, I've been involved personally in 3 shootings, so I understand that.
Wow.
But you have to deal with it and move on, but I help our deputies and police officers deal with it.
So do you have resources, psychological counselors that can help out if need be?
We do. And there's a process called CISM, Critical Incident Stress Management, that is actually sponsored by our firefighters here. But there's stakeholders from police and fire and in the psychological folks here that help put that together. Because my goal is to send our deputies, men and women, home safe at night to their families. You know, we have sometimes lack of backup. We had a deputy in the 19-minute fight about 4 or 5 months ago without a backup. We had a deputy just over the Christmas holiday make 2 burglary arrests by himself when he responded to a silent alarm.
Wow.
Those are scary incidents. We have been fortunate to walk away from those, but I've got very competent people. I'm proud of our deputies that work on the road in the jail. I'm very proud of them for doing a competent job with less than necessary resources at times.
You know, you were referring to other departments. It sounds like you cooperate or collaborate with various other groups, the firefighters, the Port Townsend Police Force. How does that work?
Oh, we have to in this rural environment when we have limited resources all around. Our county commissioners are doing the best they can with the resources that we have. I understand that. So that based on that, we have to, in public safety, work together. Now, that is also the prosecutor. That's the judges. That's Port Townsend Police. That's all of the 5 or 6 fire districts we have here. We need to pay attention. We need to help each other out because we do have those limited resources here.
this might not be a fair question, but in your tenure so far, is there one single thing that stands out to you that you say, wow, I'm really glad I did that?
I've got three things that stand out. First of all, again, I said I'm very proud of our deputies. I've learned to embrace what they're trying to do. I have that one concern, like I told you, is that to send them home safely at night to their families. People see them in their police cars, but they have families, they have children. I have picked up a dead officer before. I have had the mother look at me and say, where's my daddy? You know, that's sad. But it's the Citizen Advisory Committee to get involved with the community. That's awesome. You know, all over the community, I just want people to talk to me. How can we make this better? I have our supervisors constantly reassess. What are we doing right? What are we doing wrong? And how do we fix it? You know, we need to be transparent with our community. That's what the strategic plan does. The strategic plan involved the whole community, county, administrators, again, people from Port Townsend, people from the business community. And so it's based on what their needs are, not just what I want.
And so you have a means basically of updating people almost daily, if you want to share information with your department.
We do that. We work with our local newspapers. We work with the leader. We work with the PDN. We give them when possible, we try to do it every week. We give them a press log, and that will be on the website. And we will have interesting cases on the website also.
So what is the website?
The website is it's the county website.
Yeah, okay.
And it's a fairly new website, so we're still trying to work out some kinks in it. You just go there and you click on the sheriff's office.
Okay.
You can see who's on the jail roster. You can navigate our strategic plan. You can navigate our annual report. And you can basically, there's an area with the Citizen Advisory Committee that will be there shortly. It's not there yet, where you can actually give us comments.
I hope you have little profiles of the deputies so people can read about, you know, their backgrounds. And
oh, we don't, but that's a great idea.
Yeah, I think, as a citizen, I would sort of like to be able to look down and say, oh, yeah, there's Bob, and, you know, that's where he came from.
With that suggestion, Marianne, maybe with the sector policing that we have with the deputies that's staying there, maybe we can have them do a little bio in each section so people know who they're talking to.
Yeah, I think that would be great.
Yeah, great suggestion.
Okay, so for the rest of your term, you're working on accreditation, getting more deputies, improving the profile with the community. Anything else?
Well, our accreditation process will be completed this year on the patrol side. We're going to start the process on the corrections side next year. So one of the things I want to accomplish when I'm reelected is to get that accreditation so we can have the whole office accredited. And the strategic plan is a living document. We have a lot of things in process. One of them is a deputy wellness center, what we just talked about with the de-escalation of tragic incidents. But also it's physical fitness is very important. Mental fitness is very important. So teaching the deputies those techniques is very important. I've actually designated a couple of rooms in the sheriff's office now for working out.
Great.
So I'm looking to have folks possibly look into donating some stuff for working
equipment
out.
For the gym.
But actually, we just don't want any stuff, though. The deputies have
specific needs
of what they want. So if anybody's curious or if they have any extra dollars laying around, they can give me a call. We have a Sheriff's Foundation 501c3 that collects money for us, because we can't do that.
Okay. Well, that would be good. Now, you mentioned something in the middle there about re-election. The next election is a little bit far off, but I take it you are planning on running for re-election.
I have already declared with the PDC, and I've declared as an independent, and I'm looking forward to it, yes.
Great. Believe it or not, we're just about out of time here. It goes by remarkably fast. I want to thank you for being on the show. You've been listening to Our Town on KPTZ Port Townsend 91.9 FM or kptz.org online. I'm your host, Marianne McNellis. Today, our guest has been Sheriff Dave Stenko. I want to thank you again, and I also want to thank my partner, John McPherson, who's the editor and producer of Our Town. He smooths out all of our funny little quirks and makes us sound much better than we really are. I also want to thank Larry Stein, the program director for KPTZ, and our chair, Robert Ambrose. Both work really hard to make KPTZ the best community radio station possible. And thank you, loyal listeners. Keep listening to KPTZ for more dynamic, eclectic community radio.
Our Town is an original KPTZ production created by Marianne McNellis and engineered by John McPherson.